It's here and now. The National Zoo in Washington is extending viewing hours this weekend with the expectation that huge crowds will come to see baby Bao Bao, the nearly five-month-old giant panda cub who's going to make her public debut Saturday morning. The giant panda house closed to the public just before Bao Bao's birth in August. A reminder, by the way, to support your local zoos. Zoo members got to see her this week. And then there was always the panda cam, because baby pandas are particularly vulnerable. Zoo officials have been relying partly on cameras to monitor Bao Bao and her mother, Meishang, with the help of volunteers. More volunteers than they needed, including writer Susan Orlean, who volunteered a monitoring shift and wrote an article for the Smithsonian Magazine saying she had to be dragged away from the screen, which led her to ask, why do we find pandas so irresistible? We'll link you to her article and some beyond adorable videos at hereandnow.org as we welcome Susan Orlean, staff writer for The New Yorker. And Susan, I said screen. It's actually many screens. It's like NASA control there. Tell us about being in the Bao Bao cam room watching Bao Bao and her mom, Meishang.
The amazing thing is here we have the most high-tech setup, dozens of people in the room, including me, observers logging all of their movements for the research that goes on, and everybody was just transfixed. And what struck me as hilarious is that Meishang and baby Bao Bao were sound asleep. They weren't even moving, and everybody was just staring at the monitors going, wow, great morning.
it was
hilarious. This is the magic of pandas, and it's part of their mystery. People just respond to them, and you could probably break it down psychologically. They have a lot of characteristics of babies, big heads, big eyes. Their fur is this beautiful black and white. They seem very benign. As we know them, they just eat bamboo. So we don't think of them as bloody in tooth and nail. So everything about them is very appealing.
You say that we somehow have taste receptors for them, but what exactly are they? They don't eat meat. They don't kill for their food. Are they bear family? What are they?
This has been something puzzled over for a very long time. Finally, in the mid-80s, a scientist with the National Cancer Institute did a DNA analysis that evidently established pretty indisputably that they are bears, but they're weird bears. They are really unlike any other bear. They don't hibernate. They don't hunt. They don't, you know, roar or growl the way bears do. They, as a matter of fact, they have very funny voices. The baby Bao Bao made the funniest noise I've ever heard, which I probably should spare all your listeners, but it was...
oh, no.
Well, she went, ow, ow. And we just couldn't stop laughing. She sounded like a sort of bratty teenage girl whining about trying to take her hair out of a knot or something. When they're adults, they bleat like sheep. They have those opposable thumbs.
They don't eat meat now, but scientists have determined that they did once. All they do eat now is bamboo, but they have digestive systems that could digest meat. So we don't know when that change came. And the other thing that seems unique is how they reproduce.
They are really among the most finicky daters imaginable. First of all, they don't like each other. The females go into estrus once a year for a few days. That's the only time they have any interest in other pandas. Then what happens, which is really maddening, is no matter whether they conceive or not, they appear to be pregnant. All of their hormones kick in. Everything about pregnancy is there in their physical manifestation, but you don't know if they're pregnant or not till the day that they're supposed to have a baby comes. So it's absolutely maddening and baffling, honestly. Now, in the wild, they need a lot of room to wander and eat. They eat something like 14 hours a day. Because they have the stomach of a meat eater, they are not really good at digesting bamboo, so they have to eat a huge amount of it to survive. And they're big. They're 200 pounds. You know, it seems as if they're badly engineered in terms of evolution, but they really aren't. They're odd, but they would have done perfectly well if their habitat hadn't gotten encroached.
To the question of how much is spent, how much is invested in making sure that their species survives, what do you hear from researchers who do just this, who wander the wild, trek through hard terrain and lousy weather, as you say, looking for them?
I think that they understand that these signature animals, like pandas, the animals that people just love, are a gateway animal to encourage people to think about conservation. To tell you the truth, we spend a lot of money saving pandas, but pandas make a lot of money. You know, the zoos in the U.S. do not own any of these pandas. They're all leased from the Chinese government, leased at the cost of $1 million a year. And you think, oh my God, that's a huge amount of money. They bring in so much more than that. They are absolutely the number one draw in these zoos. Also, wouldn't we all be poorer if there were no pandas left? I think we would.
Well, Wang Dajun would be. He is a research scientist at Peking University. You point us to his YouTube video, which is just wonderful. He apparently has been, we mentioned these terrain teams that go looking for them in the wild, and he's been tracking one who became so comfortable with him, he felt it was almost as if she said, hey, would you babysit my panda while I go for a walk? And there he is on the video. We'll link you to it. This huge but baby panda is playing with him. I mean, it's the rare animal in the wild that you come across that's that happy to see a human.
It's an amazing sight to see, you know, this man has been working with pandas his whole professional life. He still registered absolute, utter joy, pure joy on his face as he is playing with this animal. He's a scientist, but he still felt that magic. It's also so funny because the baby is so playful. My assumption is the baby thought, wow, another panda just without hair. And now we're going to play. You know, pandas don't have any particular fear of humans because they don't have a lot of predators. They're very big and they aren't themselves predators. He said, you know, the mother really was very accustomed to him. They'd been following her forever. And the idea that she turned to him and sort of indicated, like, look, I'm kind of need a break. You're here. You've been tracking me around. Now do me a favor and you take care of this crazy toddler for a little while. And I think any mother could sympathize with that feeling.
It's really quite something. We'll link it here at now.org. New Yorker writer Susan Orlean, who took a look at pandas for the Smithsonian, by the way, also author of bestsellers, including Rin Tin Tin and The Orchid Thief. Susan, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Robin.